All right.
Starting today, everybody. Y'all, welcome, welcome, welcome. We have some good coaching time today. Already had one person come in and say, "How do you get coaching?" And it's super simple. You show up on this call if you want to be live coached, and you just raise your hand, and then I call on people. And then one thing I do want to say, because we have a lot of new people, is that you never really have to be on one of these calls to get your help. So just so that everybody understands, very, very few people are ever going to want to be coached live. And I get that and understand that. I mean, it's just not for everybody. I belong to several memberships where there's coaching available. I've not one time ever been coached live on those. I'm a lot like y'all. I like to listen to replays. I get so much. In fact, I was listening to a replay this morning of a coaching call of another membership that I belong to. And there was a concept, and I'm going to call on people in just a moment, but I wanted to talk about it because it was so good. And they were talking about how you have to think about who you are now in pursuit of your goal. So, we're all here to lose the weight. And so we have to think about, well, this is who I am now, currently. And we want to take like an honest view of that person. And not in a self-loathing, crappy ass way, but more of a like, I know that these are my flaws. These are the things that are hard for me. These are the things that currently, right now, that I know the version of me who loses weight one day works through that stuff and responds differently. So, for example, what I would love for y'all to do is just think about if you right now cannot admit your flaws. If you right now, when you are thinking about what stands in the way of me becoming the person who loses weight, and you can't break a 24-hour plan without beating yourself up. And so whenever you break a 24-hour plan, what do? You just like decide, well, because I don't follow it, it's too painful on me, so I don't track that anymore. If you are eating outside of hunger and you don't do discovery worksheets because doing discovery worksheets make you feel ashamed and stuff. You have to become the kind of person, like I implore all of you, if that is you, if you cannot look at what's going wrong on the way to losing weight, the very first thing you have to work on is the relationship you have with yourself in imperfect moments. Because if you can't see, this is why I eat when I'm not hungry. This is why I keep breaking my plan. This is why this keeps happening. If you're the kind of person who cannot look at that stuff, how are you ever going to lose weight? Because the only way to get better at doing those things is to figure out what prevents you from following through. Because what prevents you from following through are the things we have to improve upon, or the things we have to look at, dismantle. We have to think about why is it so hard for you? What's going on in your head? What goes on in your life, et cetera. If we can't resolve that stuff, there's never going to be a plan where it's just somehow you're just magically going to be able to follow it and never make a mistake. There's not one coming. There's no shot coming. There's no pill coming. There's no shake coming. There's no perfect workout routine coming. There's no calorie range coming. There's no perfect set of macros. There's no meal plan coming. There's no trainer coming. There's nothing coming that says you'll start this on day one. You'll never make a mistake ever again with it and lose all of your weight. Everything you do will always be riddled with. There are parts that are hard. There are parts that you forget. There are parts where all these things happen. And so I was sitting there listening to her coach, and I was sitting there thinking about how, for so many of us, we just struggle with looking at our imperfections. And then if you think about future you, the person who loses all of her weight, you know what she doesn't struggle with anymore? She doesn't struggle with her imperfections anymore. She's figured out how to be with herself with them. Because future you doesn't have a perfect life. Future you just doesn't eat over imperfections anymore. Future you doesn't beat herself up over them. She like really thinks about them. Future you gets upset and doesn't run to food first. She gets upset and cries first. She gets upset and takes a pause for a little bit. She looks at why she's so upset and either decides it's worth being upset or it's not worth being upset. She doesn't react the same ways. Like, I need you to think about everything that you're doing now. The version of you who loses her weight, she literally reacts differently to life. I think a lot of times when we think about the version of us that loses all of her weight, like, she's got it all together and she doesn't have urges and like she's just eating healthy and stuff. It's like, no, she's eating healthy and she has a bajillion days where eating healthy is the last fucking thing she wants to do. She still wants to order pizza. She just doesn't. And she has a good reason why. She has days where it feels like it's completely unfair that she's not going to have a donut, even though it was brought in on Friday and it was free and delicious and hot and feels like a once in a lifetime thing. She just doesn't do it. And sometimes she feels like it's unfair until a few hours later when she realizes it never was really that important. She's just learned how to be with herself in all the moments you struggle with right now. Those moments you have that currently you struggle with. She has them and she just knows how to show up differently for them. And I think we get so trapped in thinking that future self is just floating on air, going through life, just like, oh my God, I'm so thin. I have no more temptations ever again. I'm so thin, it doesn't bother me when I have to work late anymore. It's like, no, it bothers the shit out of her. But she doesn't sabotage her weight loss or her weight because her boss is a dick and made her work late one night. She's learned how to not make everything mean that she has to give herself up for it. She can just not like things and be okay with it. She's increased her tolerance level for bullshit. So I want y'all thinking about that because I think it's so important. Here we are, still in the very beginning. Tomorrow is Quitter's Day. I don't know if y'all know, but January 19th is called Quitter's Day. Because most people are going to quit whatever they said they were going to do on January 1st by the 19th. And the reason why they quit is several reasons. They either pick too hard of stuff right out the gate to do, and on the 19th, they quit instead of taking it down a notch. Figuring out, like, all right, I had all the enthusiasm and motivation then. Well, now I'm back to my real life. I'm back to like how I normally think. So what can I do at this stage? Like most people just quit. They think like, well, the motivation's gone. I have to quit. Well, I've been making mistakes. I have to quit. You don't have to do anything. Think about future you. Future you, like the one who lost all of her weight, she hit quitter's day. She had her time when her motivation was gone. She just didn't quit. If you want to get to the end, you have to quit quitting. It's a skill you got to learn. You have to keep going when you don't want to. You have to quit acting like you need to feel like it in order to do things. You don't have to be motivated to do anything. I was not motivated at all to come on this call today. I'm going to tell y'all right now, I have had pretty much shitty weeks right after another for a while now. The last, like, I don't even know how long it's been going on. I've been incredibly busy. Holidays are crazy in weight loss. My stepmother died 2 days ago. Y'all know I don't talk to my father and that side of my family. Guess what? Well, I've been having to talk to him a lot the last like little bit. I've had a lot of emotional stuff going on. There was no motivate. I didn't even want to go to church this morning. I wanted to call my brother because my niece is out of town and the three of us go. I wanted to call him and just say, like, why don't you just go? I've got too much to do today. There was like no motivation for me. And it's not that I don't love y'all. I just don't need to be motivated to come on a call ever. I was very motivated to go to bed. I'm motivated to cry. I'm motivated to like not talk to my father. I'm motivated to do a lot of things right now that do not help me. And my brain is full of all kinds of excuses. I'm future you. Look at me. This is future you. showing up when you don't want to. Like, there's not one time this morning have I said, you know what? Because you're thin and you've lost over 100 pounds, we're excited to do a call today. Like, no, my brain got over losing weight ages ago. About 4 months after I'd lost weight, I was over it. I was back to normal stuff, worrying about my life, scared I was going to gain weight, overthinking things. I was right back to where I normally was. And I had to just keep saying, like, this is just part of it. And I just got to keep growing and I just got to keep learning from all of it. But your future looks like this on the verge of tears. Dreading the afternoon. My dad, for some reason, I barely talked to my father ever. And when his wife was passing, they've been married like over 30 years and she was a nice lady and everything. And, I called and I was just like, hey, And so she passed away on Thursday at 1:30, and he called me at about 2:30 to talk about it. And I asked, do you need me to come down there? Because I'm going to tell y'all, I'm supposed to go to Vegas this week. It's my best friend's 50th birthday. We've been planning this trip for ages. Some of our other best friends are coming on this trip that we haven't seen since October. I'm just so looking forward to it. And I was like, oh my God, I have so much going on in my life right now. I just know I'm going to have to go down there for a funeral. I just know it. And I was just like, trying to figure out, like, I hope they can get her buried before I have to go to Vegas because I'm going to choose Vegas, seriously. And then I've had been dealing with the guilt of like saying, like, I'd rather go to Las Vegas than go down to Alabama and be there with my dad and my grandmother that I could, practically give two shits about. Well, anyway, we were talking and he said that she really wanted to be cremated. That was like her wish. And I said, you should do that. My grandparents were both cremated. I don't care what you want to do with your body. For our family, it's so much easier. You get to have the ashes and you get, I don't know, it feels different to me. I have been to funerals where there's bodies. I've had members of my family die and there's the traditional casket, burial, all the things. And then we've done the cremation. And for me personally, cremation is I don't, more peaceful in my mind. So anyway, well, he was really debating it and he just said she never wanted a service. Her son's in prison. Like, she doesn't have, like, she just basically had my dad. She wasn't super close to my dad's family. And so I don't have to go down there. And I was so relieved. And then I felt so guilty for not like wanting to go down there. And I've just been dealing with all that. And then I asked him, well, is there anything I can do for you? And he said, you can call your grandmother. And y'all, I have like, two weeks ago, I got coached by my coach on my father and really had some breakthroughs. And one of the things I said was, I don't feel the same about my grandmother. And I just assume she's a hypocrite and she was not good to us, and there was all kinds of things. And I had just decided I wasn't gonna feel bad that I was just done with her, just done. And then that was all he wanted. So I called her yesterday. And it was as fabulous as it ever is. She had nothing, hardly anything to say. She complained. And then I will say, she's always asked me, how much do you weigh? Because she was so hard on me for being overweight, too. What little I saw of that bitch when I was growing up, my weight was always such a big piece of the conversation. And even as an adult, and since I've lost my weight, she's always asked me, how much do you weigh? Did you gain your weight back? Shit like that. Well, this time she didn't ask me that. She asked me, well, are you still pretty? And she says it just like that. Now, I know I got all kinds of thoughts. So I'm like reading into it. So, all you coaches out there, know a lot of this is in my mind, but I just thought, you know, this is why I don't talk to you. You don't know me. You never have known me. So it's just been hard. And I tell you all of this for only one reason. Because this is real life. And the way I'm trying to teach you to lose weight is so that you can have real life and not just turn to food to like not feel these things, to not learn how to be there for yourself. You know, I'm so proud of myself because the last, especially the last 24 hours, 48 hours have been hard. And for 2 days, I've let myself just sleep in rather than getting up and working because I've told Jane 100 times, I said, I know my Oura ring says I should feel like a champ. But I was like, my Oura ring can't read when I'm emotionally tired. And I said, I'm just emotionally wore out right now. And I need to remind myself of that and really take care of myself because my emotions are just, they're like just right there. So think about your future self. She's dealing with all your shit. She just allows for it. She handles it all differently. And it would be so helpful for you at this stage of your weight loss to be thinking about for you, like, what is it that right now I know my future self can do that I can't do? And don't make it about like what she eats and how much she works out. I want you to think about like when she has excuses, what does she think about when she hears her excuses? When she doesn't want to do things, how does she get herself to do them? What are the conversations that she's having? When she has really bad days, right now, if I take care of myself with food, how is she taking care of herself? Because it's going to be different than the way I'm taking care of myself. When people hurt her, how does she take care of herself? Like, you need to think about those things because I think that that's what stands between us and losing weight. We just think she has it all together. And then we just try to just diet. And we just try to diet. And it's like future self didn't lose weight because she dieted so hard. She lost all of her weight because she looked at all the things that right now are hard for her and she figured out a new way to handle things. And that is why she was able to lose her weight. Okay, put my glasses back on. You know, I can't say shit without my glasses. Let's get to coaching. Now my glasses are nasty. Carrie. And then somebody, I forget what your name was. Let me find it. I had it in my phone. Christy Blair, I know you wanted to get coached. I don't see you with your hand up, so make sure you raise it. Otherwise, I think you might be, I don't have my glasses on again, but I'll figure it out in a minute. All right. Now that we're done letting Corinne coach herself out loud for everyone, let's coach you. It'll be more fun. At least for me. How can I help you today?
Can you hear me fine?
I can hear you just fine. Yeah, you sound good.
Oh, okay, great. Well, oh my God, this is so perfect. So I told myself I wasn't going to cry, but my heart just is with you.
Thank
And
you.
I'm here for to celebrate a win. And to just say that, everything that you have talked about is exactly what I wanted to talk with you about today. Because I didn't even realize about the Quitter's Day. So I've been with you since January the 21st of 2022. I have never come on a call. So I'm just so excited to be here with you today. And I'm happy for myself that So these 4 years have given me the courage to do this today with you. And for myself, I feel so happy for myself today.
I
Okay,
love that.
so I had an last night a chance to overeat, and I helped myself through an urge in a way that I have never done before.
Oh, okay, good.
And so that's the question in with the coaching today is how to keep going with I feel so good for myself, and all of these years of being with you have taught me to fight for my own life and for the things that I want. But I have a piece of me. When you talked about the future self, I feel like I've got all of my puzzle pieces moving. You and through this program and through my own commitment, I am seeing all the beautiful parts of my life. I'm just sometimes afraid of how good I feel, and afraid to keep going with feeling good. And as you talk about is going, I've listened to maintenance calls, and I think that's where I need to keep building my strength. The future me is now, and building in everything that I need to continue my life. I still have weight to lose, but I have not quit. I have had moments I wanted to, I am not going to quit on myself. I have come too far. And I think that's the really key thing today for me. And to realize I am not broken. You have given me that back to myself. So just the courage to keep going, and how to build on those moments when I want to turn to the food. And I wrote down many things that you talked about, and I can't wait to go back and to re-listen to the call. To do the things that I don't want to do that I know are in my best interest. And that's part of what I wanted to just to get some coaching in. Got to keep going with feeling, ups and downs of my life, because there's so many things going on in my life. And I'm like, I am not, I want this for me. I want this for the quality of my life.
Right.
I've never felt it to the depths that I feel it today.
Well, first of all, it's beautiful. Like, I love that you can just tell, like, this is really hitting you, very deeply. And that's
It's a big
good.
win.
It
It's a
is a
big
huge
win.
win. Yeah. I was actually talking to my coach in text as I was going through the last few days. And I was talking to her about like even just forgiveness. I'm real big on learning how to feel your feelings. And I said, I don't know what forgiveness feels like. Like I know what it kind of looks like maybe, or like the steps of forgiveness. I said, but how do you know you've done it? And so she and I are going to be coaching on that, like how do you embody it? So a couple things I want to say to you about this is really when we get off this call, sit with yourself for a little bit and just observe, like, where in my body is this truly landing? Because I'm going to tell you right now, one of the things you said was, how do I build on this? How do I keep building on this? This is how we build on it. I think you have to know when you are actually feeling legitimately solid. You have to know that, like, because once you can feel solid and once you can feel like you're feeling, you never have to worry about losing it.
Thank you. That's good.
Yeah, like it's just there now. Like
Okay.
you've cracked the code.
I
So the
have.
code is already done, right? Now, what gets in our way is you said something that was very interesting, which I feel you on because this is a big one for me. And that's the I'm afraid to feel good. And let me ex this. I'm just going to explain to you conceptually why this happens in our brain. And then you tell me kind of where you're at after that. So, brains are literally just wired from, it's just like how we come out of the box. And their whole job, the way the like, neuroscience, psychology, the way the brain is just set up is its primary function is to keep you safe. It's not to keep you happy. It is not to keep you thin. It's not to keep you healthy. It's not to do anything other than safety first. Now, if we go back thousands of years, like we needed that. Like there was so much danger in the world that the brain was supposed to constantly be scanning because it did keep us from eating poisonous berries, kept us from animals attacking us. It kept us from being booted out of the tribe where they've got the fire. And if I'm not in the tribe, I don't have numbers and I don't have fire and I don't have a way to like survive. So our brain literally had to be scanning for danger at all times. Well, back then there was so much danger. It wasn't a problem. It was literally like a it was to our benefit. So we didn't get stressed out about it. And we didn't like, you know, we just didn't have problems with it. You cut to the last, I don't know, 200 years out of all time and existence. We've moved into places where scanning for danger all the time is not needed, but our brain, it doesn't know that. It's kind of
Okay.
like they say within the next 100 years or so, humans won't be born with a pinky toe anymore. If you ever look at the pinky toe, it's
I've
getting
heard you say it. I've
smaller
heard
and
you say it.
smaller. Yeah. There are the appendix is the same way. We don't use it back in the primitive days. It probably has served a major purpose. It doesn't really serve a purpose now. The appendix itself organ has gotten smaller and smaller. You can live without it. That's why they can just take your appendix out. You don't even need a medicine. You're just gone, right? Our brain is still trying to evolve to not need to scan for danger all the time. So what it does now, it doesn't have bears and pumas and tigers and it doesn't even have arrows to scan for anymore. All it does now is it scans for emotional danger.
Oh, okay.
So it loves to just look around and be like, well, I don't know. This could go wrong. I don't know. I think that guy looked at you weird. I don't know. I mean, I think Susan's mad at you. Like it just
It's
like
so true.
it's got to find problems. Otherwise, it doesn't know what to do with itself, right? It feels like
Oh my
my
God.
job's to keep you safe and I don't have things. There's no threats. So I got to now find threats. So one thing that happens with our brain is it's constantly scanning for danger. Nowadays, it scans for a lot of what we call faux danger. A faux danger is your emotional stuff. No one's dying because Susan's mad at them. No one's dying because their kid won't speak to them right now. No one's dying because your boss has written you up. But our brain, it does when it's scared, it treats it as seriously as if you're drowning, trapped in a house on fire, someone's got a loaded gun pointed at your head.
Okay, now I
It
get that.
doesn't, yeah, the brain doesn't, it has no ability. The part of your brain that processes emotion, it's not the logical part, it's the other part that does all that. It does not have a way of knowing the difference between this is real life-threatening fear, this is emotional fear.
Okay.
And so it always treats everything the same. That's
Okay.
why we get so jacked up over little things. Like, how many people
Yes.
here raise your hand if you like I can feel an adrenaline rush like go through my body if we get an angry customer. Like I'll read something where somebody's login didn't work correctly and they're just like, you know, this is bullshit. I was all ready to sit down and watch my videos and my password didn't work and I won't be able to lose weight this week because of that, you know, and I'll read it and be like, oh! And then in an instant, I feel the flush go through my body and I swear to God, my brain is like, how many people can't log in today? Who dropped the ball on our team? Like my brain is just like, you know, really overreacting.
Project manager, so I understand.
Yes. And then, like, the next thing I know, I'm in there yelling at Chris and saying, like, our technology's bullshit. We're never gonna be able to get customers if this crap keeps happening. You know, so the reason why I say all that is because that's why we
Yes.
often have a fear of feeling good, because our brain is like, but if I feel good, won't I miss things?
Right,
Won't I miss the
exactly.
important stuff? And
Right.
so
Or
that's why
it
we have.
looks like I don't care if I'm not upset about everything.
Exactly. So that's where we use that front part of our brain where we have to say, like, okay, I live in a modern day age now. So I have to take what's illogical and now I have to actually make sense of it because this served humans years ago. This absolutely doesn't serve us now. We are now in the modern day and age where we actually do, like, you do not have to go and hunt a boar in order to eat tonight. If you're hungry,
Thank God.
you probably got food in the refrigerator. Like, you don't have to go do things. So we have time to manage our minds now. We act like we don't. And I'm like, y'all, we are never as busy as the caveman was.
No doubt.
Right. Like, and I know we have stresses and stuff, but we have time now to actually reason with ourselves. And we absolutely have to reason with ourselves. Otherwise, the part of us that's, you know, archaic and primitive and whatnot runs our life. And it's running it on a false premise that we're about to die. So I need to really worry that, you know, this customer service email blew goats. I need to really worry that Susan might be mad at me because, you know, I didn't bring in PTA cookies this month. You know, like we have to be able to reason with ourselves. So
Okay. Very
don't be
helpful.
like, one thing that I always tell myself is, I know I'm thinking. I always like to state things with, I'm thinking. It takes a little of the realness out, but it's like, I know I'm thinking that it's scary to feel good. And that's because that's different than the way I'm used to doing it. And let me ask you this, Terry. If you feel good, let's say we're just going to decide starting today, I'm going to feel as good as I possibly can. At every moment, no matter what, I'm going to try my damnedest to feel really good. What are you afraid will happen if you just decide after today, I'm just going to feel good until there's a reason not to?
I feel like it won't last. First thing that, well, of course,
100%.
it's not going
100%.
to last, you know.
Yeah.
And
That's life, so it won't last is one of them.
right, and you'll look foolish thinking
To
everything's all right. Pardon me,
who
I'll
are
look
you going to look?
foolish.
Who will you look foolish to if you just decide to go through life right now? Everything's fine until I'm proven otherwise.
People will say, "Are you on drugs?" Because I've always been so freaking serious my whole life. I worry about things. And I'm like, "What's wrong?" You know, I think that's what I'm afraid of is I have a glimpse of what life could feel like, not worrying about everything to the nth degree in my life, or all of the catastrophizing. You know, as a project manager, that's part of my role. All the what ifs, you know, what are all the backup plans? What are all the, you know, I got to think of all of the what ifs. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired. I
Well, all
do it.
right. So let's do this. Let's separate it out because you're like me. I also, because I run companies,
Yeah,
like
you
my job is to do two things. Be
anticipate
very
the
future focused. I've got to like find the future and strategize and look there. And I've got to look at things in the nth detail of like what's not working, what can break. Like I have to kind of juggle both. All
Exactly.
right. So for you, I think it, like, when is it in your life? When is it appropriate to worry and what if? And when is it not needed now?
So I'm at the phase of my life. I'm looking. I lost my job in August. I'm trying to find a new job, and I'm like, I don't think I. So when I'm more financially strapped is something to worry about. When I have health concerns, that need to be addressed. I guess those are things to think about and worry about.
Well,
And
all
one of
right, let
them.
me. You just said something really key. Let me write down health. Is it something to think about or is it something to worry about? Because they're not the same things.
To worry of, to, I think that's a that is a that's a really good I worry about my health, that I'm afraid that I'm my why is to have quality of life and to keep moving and to live fulfilled, being able to care for myself. I'm by myself. Hopefully that'll change here in the future, but who knows? I think that's probably the biggest part is
Where are
my
you more
worry.
likely to get answers to how to have a good quality life? If you think about how to get there, or if you worry about not having a good quality of life?
How to think to get there versus worrying, because you have proven, and I have watched so many wonderful women to come through, and I'm like, they took the action, and I have to think, and I want to think good things. I want to think what my future holds versus everything that's in the past. I'm like, it's in the past. I mean, I've used it to get me here, but I don't. When I need it, I'll go back there, but I don't think I need it anymore. I
There's your
need
power
this going
thought.
forward.
This is your this whole thing. When you rewatch this replay, this one big line sentence is now what we want to call your power thought.
I never had a power
I'll
thought.
think about the past when I need to. Like
Okay.
that right there is the most powerful thought, I think, for you. Like just one of the many, but I want you to think about this. The only way that we can become future focused is we have to break the habit of being past focused.
Yes. Okay.
Like it doesn't just happen because we're like, okay, I'm decided to be a future person. It's a repeated redirection. So when you go to your past, you just say, hey, my past is sitting there. If I
Right.
need to go back to it to get to my future, I'll go there. But if I don't
Okay.
need it, I need to just remind myself, hey, remember, we're very focused on thinking about our future. And it's going to feel odd and it's going to feel almost dangerous,
Kind of fake sometimes. I feel like if I think
and
about
fake. It's going to feel fake because it's
it.
different. It's not the way we've
Right.
always been thinking. It's going to feel
Exactly.
scary because I've never really done it that way. I have always done other things. And anything new, our brain is like, this must be a problem. This is like, are you sure there's no butcher knife coming at you? Like, our brain
Right.
treats newness as a danger. Remember, its job is to scan for danger. Even if we're telling our brain, oh my God, Corinne said these amazing things about being future focused. That just sounds lovely. I'm going to do it. All right. So, when you hear it on a call, y'all, it always sounds like a damn good idea. Just like when y'all first find out, like, wait a minute. We're going to ask ourselves if we're hungry and stop enough. That's all we really got to do to lose weight, Corinne. I'm like, yes, ma'am. That's all you got to do. That sounds good. Like, people write in. It's so relieving. Like, I just cannot believe nobody's ever told me this until you're doing it. And then it's scary. And you're like worried it's not going to work. And your brain is like, all this newness is sucks.
Well, so that is 100% right now, because the thing that the past folk, when I think about all of that dieting history, I've had to eat less, and I have finally decided it's okay for me to eat less. I feel stronger in myself that I think I could let that part about I don't need as much food because I'm rebuilding my life, and that's pretty exciting.
Well, guess what? That came from thinking, not worrying about your health.
Yeah, there you go. That's so good.
The
That's
same
just
thing will
that.
happen with the finances. I think you're just going to have to remind yourself when you're worrying, it's like financially, the other side, did I get there because I worried so much about my finances, or
Right.
did I get there because I thought about my finances?
And
Because
that's so.
thinking energy and worry energy are completely opposite.
Perfect.
And for all of you, there's no turning off worry. I promise all of you, because I work on worry a lot. I come from a long line of warriors. It's been modeled to me all my life. The moment I crack the code, I will tell all of you first. You will not have to worry. I will not go sell it on the black market and keep it from you. No BS women will be the first to know.
Just buy it. Exactly.
Yeah. So we can't turn our brain off worry. This is the way I like to look at it. We use our worry now as a trigger for good.
Okay, good. Trigger
Okay.
for good. Oh,
So,
I
like a
like that.
lot of
That's
us,
good.
we forget there are like triggers are like 50-50. Sometimes we're triggered and we just automatically do things. And sometimes we want to know the things that we do that we want to trigger for good. So, if I am a chronic worrier, now what I want to do is I want to really watch out for it. I want to pay attention to any moment that I'm worrying and remind myself this is probably something I should think on,
Think
not
about,
worry about. I
yes.
have two public podcasts that are about worry that are really good. It's called Worry Bucket and Worry 2.0.
Bucket.
Those are on the Losing 100 Pounds podcast. Let me make a note. We'll link it to the
Okay.
replay so that y'all will have it. We'll find it. We'll put it in the replay so if anybody wants to listen to it. But the base of it is that there, especially in Worry 2.0, I teach a technique in there on how to worry effectively.
Okay.
It was there was a study done with teenagers that were like in the foster care and systems and stuff, and they had a lot of worries. For them, they were always
Sure, for
worried
sure.
that, like, about a parent coming, like an abusive parent coming back, or not being able to get placed in a home. They had rough lives,
Right, for sure.
and they gave them this technique of how to separate out their worries. And it showed a lot less stress in teens when they could see what they had control over versus what they don't have control over. And for our brains, very often, the reason why I have y'all write and journal sometimes is because there is something that happens in the brain. When your thoughts only live in your head, they feel very real. When your
Yes,
brain sees
yes.
your thoughts on paper, it treats it very differently. It treats it as if it's reading something, not experiencing something. And so it just puts a little
Okay.
separation. Somebody looked it up. Christy Larson, look at her. She's over there just. Christy, I hate to ask you to do this, but do you mind taking those two and just sending them over to support? Tell them it's going to go into this recording. That'll make
Thank
that,
you.
that's just amazing. I appreciate Christy. So
Thank
that,
you.
I mean, that's the thing I want you to do is you want to build on the moments. It's doing things like this. You're still going to have moments you're going to turn to food. You
Sure.
always will. It's in those moments, though, it's like now the next time I turn to food, how do I not let that become something to worry about? How do I not let that become something that I think means that, well, you were too big for your britches. See, you did that because you were just feeling too good. How do I like now normalize? There's just going to be times for the rest of my life that I will turn to food. The people who lose their weight and keep it off are just really good at noticing those things, not making them a big deal. And if you notice it's turning into a pattern, you just get really good at like, okay, well, now it's time to figure out what's going on in my life. To where food is like, I seem to be turning to it more often. And I just go to work on that. That's what I do.
All right. That's awesome. That's exactly it. And so can I just ask one other thing that I've been toiling around with is, well, I'm, you know, about the GLP-1s, and I know that's the next call, but I believe there's a part of me that says, do I have the belief that I need to give this a fair shot of doing this work? Because I'd still have to do the work with GLP-1s. I believe that to be true,
It's 100%.
right?
You ought to go visit that GLP-1 group. That's all they
Well,
talk about over there is like, you better be doing no BS with it, or you're going to have some bullshit come up.
really? So, I mean, because my doctor, you know, I've talked to my doctor, and he's concerned. He said there's a lot of GI stuff that I deal with. That he said, you know, you might want to really try and work through the food stuff. Like, okay. So is I mean, so that is true. It just doesn't go away. This it doesn't, because they talk about it takes the desire away, but
It can take the dis but let me all right, tell me just one thing you eat over in life. Is it worrying about being financially strapped?
I feel I eat over loneliness. How about that on the
Okay.
weekends?
All right.
Yeah.
There's no shot coming to where on the weekends you're not going to be lonely. You might not be hungry, but you're going to be sitting there not eating and lonely. So
Then what do you
that's
do?
exactly because some people will over like if you don't work on the loneliness, now you're just sitting there
Okay.
miserable and
Exactly.
just like,
Okay.
well, at least I'm
Okay.
losing weight. It's like, I don't want your weight loss to be a consolation prize to your miserable fucking life. Like,
Yeah.
y'all.
Yes.
The
Okay.
whole point of us losing weight is so that we get to feel as good as we deserve. I like if y'all don't know the No BS mission statement, it is I want to teach every woman how to lose weight for good. And I argued with Chris over this. We had a de Kathy Hartman was there. It was me, Kathy, Betsy, and Chris. And I was deciding what our mission statement was going to be. This was like in 2017, I think, or something like that. And Chris did not want it to be long. And I wanted to add in there that women deserved it. Like, I want to teach every woman how to lose weight for good and feel as amazing as they deserve. Because for me, I knew that I had finally lost weight. The reason why I trusted I would never regain it is because for the first time in my life, I genuinely on the, you know how like when you came on here and you were like moved to tears, how like I actually feel good. Like it was like a soulful feeling good. I had lost weight so many times and was just terrified and still had a shitty mindset, still worried about what everybody thought. Like I had just starved myself down essentially, or just done some bullshit to lose weight, but I didn't lose my emotional weight. And it was the
Yeah,
first
okay.
time that I ever breathed and just said, something really changed inside of me. And I just
I
told him, I was
feel
like,
that today.
I'm not teaching women. I told him, I was like, I'm not teaching women how to lose weight. I'm teaching them
Right.
how to like have the life they deserve.
Right. You've been so good about that, and it has given me the courage to turn over all of those stones, to feel like I feel that. Today, I feel like I think I can do this. I believe I can create this. I can do this. Oh my God.
Well, I'm proud of you. And let me just say this one last thing because you brought up the GLP-1. This is what I think is important for a lot of women to hear, especially from me. Some of you, like, we all know the reason why we are overweight, and you would not be attracted to me if the core issue wasn't food is how I've been kind of getting through life. Like, I have used it to
Exactly.
manage my life,
Yes.
right? And for some of us, though, the food noise is so loud, we can't even get to the part where we can find what is it going on with me. And what the GLP-1 users in our group have found is that when they turn down the food noise, they are able to kind of clearly see this is what I've been eating over. Because I don't have the food noise and all of the worry and stuff about my eating distracting me and so loud that I can't even see what's obviously in front of my face. It's like looking through your glasses and there's like Vaseline all over it. And then when you take a GLP-1, it's like the Vaseline gets wiped off and it's like, I'm lonely on the weekends. And now that I'm not obsessing about food, I can see I'm lonely on the weekends. And now I get to go to work on loneliness because I'm not distracted with wanting to eat through it. And that's where it's such a compliment. And I don't think everybody has to do them, but for some people, I'm going to die on the sword. I've always said, I just want women to be able to lose weight. And if it helps, I will never shame a woman over it. I don't think there's any shame in it. I just think we all have to do what we need to do, but I don't want anybody to also just do that and not work on loneliness because it will suck for you, like to get to your goal weight and to be sitting around lonely all weekend. And eventually you have to come off the shot. And then when you come off the shot, you're just staring at your loneliness and the food noise just comes back because it's like, I've got to solve this. This is a problem. And since you're not solving it, I know how. Cheetos or whatever you eat, right?
Yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Again, it's taken me these 4 years to dismantle, and all the pieces are there, and I've turned over a lot of stones, and I didn't want to admit to, and I have more work to do, but I'm excited. I feel very encouraged. So thank you. Thank you for
Thank
all
you.
that you do and all that the whole team shares in the community. It's been incredible. And I'll be reaching out a little bit more.
All right, good. Thank you,
Thank you.
Terry.
All
Bye.
right. Bye.
All right, Christy. While she's coming up, eating when I'm hungry and stopping when I'm full enough is great for maintenance. But my experience is that it isn't enough to actually lose weight. Tell me why I'm wrong, please. You probably don't know what enough is. We are not to eat to full. So there's eating to enough, there's eating to full, which is maintenance, and then there's eating to stuffed, which is usually weight gain. And so it's probably that you ne still need to dial in the difference between what full and enough is. Just try eating just a little bit less and see what happens. But also, I will say this for everyone. I often get this question. And then when I ask, how many discovery worksheets have you been doing? Because I've just never met anyone who can say, I can't even say with 100% accuracy. Like, if you were to look at my food the last 30 days, did I wait until I was hungry at every meal? Or were there sometimes I ate when I wasn't hungry because I just wanted to? This is barring having to eat, because, like, today I had to eat my breakfast super early because I was going to church, coming to y'all. I had to, the second I hit the floor, I ate breakfast, not hungry at all. But today was like a decision to eat early. It wasn't emotional. It was a, this is a smart plan for your day. Okay. And with 100% certainty, are you never having a mindless eat, a habit eat, or an emotional overeat? Typically, what happens is when someone says, like, well, I'm stopping at enough, they're stopping at enough about 80, 85% of the time. And they're like, but shouldn't I be able to lose weight doing that? It's like, if the scale's not going down, no, you're at a point in your weight loss, that percentage will not work for you. So we need to find out that 10 to 15% or 15 to 20% of the time, why not just work on why you're not stopping? Why not figure out why you're not stopping? This is not a perfectionism exercise. This is a, if you're overeating and your core desire is to lose weight, and in the moment, you're saying, fuck my core desire. I'm going to do this because we want to find that out because that's unfair to the version of you who, majority of the time, wants different for you. So it's not about like, you mean I got to be perfect? It's like, no. You know what you got to be? Someone who doesn't tolerate any of your bullshit. You've got to become someone who just is like on the pursuit to say, I will give myself my dreams and goals. And the way that I will give myself my dreams and goals is I will find out every nook and cranny where overeating is hiding that is about emotions so that I can figure out my life and feel better. And then it'll be easy street to get there. All right, Christy, what are we coaching on today?
Hey,
Hey.
so I appreciate what Terry said because that helped a lot, and what you said to her, because that answered a lot of my questions. But I think my issue is feeling like I have a lack of control over my life. I love my husband. Let me just preface with that. I do love my husband,
Say
and
you
nobody needs
left
to
him?
worry. Huh?
Did you say
No,
you
I
left
love
him or
him.
you? Oh, okay,
Love.
I couldn't
Love
under.
will
I was like,
go.
I want to make sure I understand this. Did you leave
No,
him or love him?
love.
Okay, good.
No, love. LOVE. But I do love him. But and I know he's human. But
Yeah.
he's always kind of been one of these my way or the highway kind of thing, and I don't want anybody thinking that they need to, think you need to have this relationship or something. No. But and I have five kids and that think they know everything. And I just feel like, okay, so about 6 years ago, I lost about 50 pounds. Now, I didn't do that healthily. I did it pretty much eating chicken salad. I think I told you this, Corinne. Chicken salad and plantain chips. I mean, literally. I mean, occasionally I'd eat something else, but literally, breakfast, lunch, dinner, I was eating that. And so obviously that's, at least I was eating, but still wasn't
Did
healthy.
you have kids and a husband then? And a
Yeah, this
full
was only
life
6 years
then?
ago. I'm sorry, say what?
And a full life back then too? Or was your, oh, so you had control then, you just don't have it now.
Yeah, I, well, and I think,
I'm not saying go back to chicken and
no.
plantains. I just want you to see that
No.
when you did chicken and plantains, you just decided my life won't get in the way of my losing weight.
Yeah.
Now you have this idea that, well, I have a lack of control over my life, and that's probably why I can't lose weight.
Yeah. I think I just lost my train of thought. Hold on a second.
You're okay.
Okay, so I think growing up, okay, I've dealt with depression and anxiety from pretty much most of my life, and I'm on several antidepressants, and that was one of the things too. I gained weight with the antidepressants, because unfortunately that's a side effect of a lot of them. But I've been on antidepressants all my life. And so my husband did not want me to get on the antidepressants way back, because that was like early on in our marriage. And I had to convince him and have a couple other people, our priest, talk to him and stuff. Like even getting into this group, he was just like, well, you just want to buy friends, and you just want to buy friends, and this is just, there's
But this,
no,
you're telling me everything you have control over.
yeah.
Like, I want you to just notice, like, you wanted to take antidepressants, you figured out how to do it. You wanted to be in this group, you figured out how to do it. You
Yeah.
have, you're telling me all the things you have control over. What do
Okay.
you not have control over? Or did you just miss out on the idea that you actually had control over those situations? You just had somebody who disagreed with you, which is very
Yeah.
different.
Well, that's true. That is a good point. I guess I
I always make
feel
good points. I try to go 100% every day on good points.
well, that's good. I'm paying you to make good points.
That's right.
But oh, and it was so funny because I was listening to you. We had stopped for lunch, which I only ate a little bit of. And I was just like, I've got to get on this call. And so I went out the car when I was done. And so then my husband comes out, and he goes, and I had it low, but he could hear your voice. He goes, man, that is a Southern woman.
Oh, yeah. Very, yeah.
I live in the
I
South, but
couldn't
I'm from
hide that if
Minnesota.
I wanted to. I can't
Yeah.
even cleanse this accent. It's that horse left the barn
Yeah.
many years ago.
But I think,
But
because
where do you have a lack of control, though? Because that
I
was your
feel like
big
I have,
statement.
okay, I feel like I have a lack of control because I have to, like, my husband will go out and buy a new car. He'll tell me about it, but he'll buy a new car, but I have to explain every little purchase I make. why did you do this? And he'll multiply it by, well, if you buy that, then multiply it by 365 or multiply it by 12 by month or whatever. I'm like, I
But let
love
me ask
my
you
every month.
this. Do you have to explain it to him, or are you choosing to because you don't want
Well,
to deal with his bullshit if you don't?
he has the Discover card. Sorry, I'm going to interrupt you. He's got the Discover card on his phone. So every time it dings, kind of a thing,
But how does that like, but you're buying the shit you want to buy. I don't understand where your lack of control is.
I am buying it, but I have to deal with the aftermath of, him complaining, and I want to, saying you need to get a full-time job and blah 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 blah, and he'll
Okay.
just go into rants,
Okay. But that's not a lack of control. Like, here's where you don't have control. You don't have control over him. Just like he don't have control over you, or you wouldn't be buying shit and you wouldn't join no BS and you wouldn't be on antidepressants. So nobody controls each other. All right? You just don't like the way he shows up. It's very different. Okay? So what we have to decide, because right now, the way you're framing him is it's like from an energy of he's a problem. And it's why I can't do. Instead of, that is your fact. You have a husband who complains. You have a husband who's going to want justifications. You have a husband, whatever,
He's an
and you show
engineer,
it.
so it comes naturally.
And it's natural to, like, it's his DNA. He's just wired that way, you know? It's like if you want him to be, I guess, free flowing, you're asking him to rewire his DNA, and you're probably asking him to be absolutely miserable and scared. Because for people who are engineers and they do this stuff, to be what you might want them to be means they now live in eternal fear, worried that everything's going to go wrong, worried if I'm not justifying things that somehow we'll lose our house. Like,
Well,
we
he
just kind
does.
of
He
think
talks
about
about that
that.
all the time, but
Right. So we always have to be careful about what we wish the other person would do, because in order for them to morph into the human that would make our life easy, it makes their internal life fucking miserable and scary because they're not wired the same. Now, I say all this because the only thing that we're going to be able to fix here is the facts of Christy's life are how your husband shows up. You ain't leaving. You love him. You got kids. Now, who do you want to be in this? Because right now, don't take this the wrong way, Christy, but it's a little victim-y. It's a little like, well, he makes me justify, and he says these things, and I wanted to join No BS, and he didn't even want me to do it, and I had to do this, and it's like, so you're fucking married to, you're figuring it out and giving yourself zero credit for it. You're just whining that he won't act different. And look, everybody, I will just say this: anytime I need Chris to be different, I have a conversation with him about it. And he's either going to do it or he's not. But I never expect him to. I know how my husband's wired. Every now and then, there's something going on in our marriage where I have to say, like, it would be really like our family vacation that we take every year. Absolutely hates it. He hates it. He does not like it. And he even likes my family, but he does not like the beach. He does not like the heat. He does not like the noise. We are very loud. We call each other names. We pick on each other. Like, we do everything Chris absolutely abhors in life. And when I go, I just told him, hey, I know you hate it. I don't ask for much. Because I do a lot of accommodating for Chris. He likes to be at home all the time and different things. I said, I just ask that you go on this one trip every single year because it matters a lot to me. And I also know that when he goes, I have to watch him stay in the room, barely come out, look annoyed. I can tell that my family doesn't know he's annoyed. I know because I'm his wife. And that means that in order for me to have him there that week, I also sometimes walk on eggshells around him, sometimes have to babysit him a little bit. I have to explain to my family why he's not coming downstairs. It really has nothing to do with y'all. That's the trade. That's the man I love. Now, I would love for him to do shots with us and play cornhole and stay up till 3 in the morning playing Cards Against Humanity, making fun of each other. I would love it if we did all that stuff, but his skin would come off if he had to. So let's think about you in this lack of control. Is it I have a lack of control over my life, or is it I'm not deciding how I'm going to show up for myself given the circumstances of my life? I have an engineer husband who will see every ding of the Discover card. I have a husband who doesn't understand mental health meds. I
And
have
he's
a
come to, don't get me wrong, he's come to accept it.
I don't think there's anything. Like I'm on mental health meds too. My husband's never had to deal with that shit. He didn't stand in my way, but he was like, "Really? You're a coach." He literally, when I decided 2 years ago to go back on antidepressants, he looked at me and he said, "I don't take this the wrong way, but you coach all these people and you need help?" And I said,
That so sounds like my husband.
I just said, "Yeah, that's kind of how it works." He's like, "Okay."
No, definitely the latter. What you said. I think too that because I used to be a teacher, first grade teacher, and then when my fourth child was born, I started homeschooling. And now I'm only homeschooling the eighth grader. My 11th grader is at a regular school now because we only got through fourth grade with him because he needed more structure. And the other ones are in college or out of college. I had one job for 3 months last year and just realized it wasn't the right mix. Technically got fired because I was kind of on a probation thing, but it was mutual. Like, yeah, this is just not working. And she was, very sweet about firing me, letting me go. But it, I felt failure in that. And then, and Richard has said many times lately, you need to get a more, because I started an organizing business right at the beginning of COVID. And so I've had customers, clients, but not on a regular basis. Don't advertise a lot except word of mouth and on a free Facebook pages that you can advertise. Don't worry, I won't advertise on here. But I'll get kicked out, I know. But well, I kind of did just now. But anyway, not intentionally. But it's not very consistent. And I've tutored and stuff like that. But he's like, you need to get more of, like a more consistent job. And I know it comes from his fear of having kids in college and, working on one income for the most part. So, but I also know that it comes from my feeling of feeling like I need to punish myself. Cause like yesterday, when I posted that I was in the tens club, because I did lose 10 pounds, in this 2 weeks that we've been doing this or whatever. And but prior to that, then I posted, I looked on there and MJ said, post if you've lost it somewhere else, which I had lost. Third, I told you 50 pounds a long time ago. Well, then I got up to like 203. And then I was like, I have got to change something. And so I went on a Ozempic, which I went on it without telling my husband, because we had an HSA, so he kind of was not seeing it. And then he found out about it and about flipped his lid. But then I ended up and lost 30 pounds. But then I went got off of it because the symptoms were just as it upped, it just was not. I was like, I gotta stop. So that really helped. But then I've been stuck, and stuff. And so that's why I got on here. But I've always kind of punished myself. So like yesterday, I bought a new scale because the digital one had lost a battery. And I bought one of the ones that's not digital or whatever. And I was like, okay, got lost 10 pounds or whatever. Well, then he ends up getting mad about that because he's like, I can just put a battery in it, but waiting forever to do it, have him do anything. And so he puts a battery in. So I stood in on it last night, which I know you shouldn't do at night, but I stood on it last night and I compared the two. And there was like 3 pounds difference. And I flipped out. I freaked out. And I told him, I said, I don't think you're supposed to calibrate the digital because surely mine is right. Because I did calibrate it when I first got it. And I like felt like I needed to punish myself today. Now I have eaten, but that was my first thought. I mean, there's been times that I have gone like 3 days not eating, just
Why?
drinking, because I felt
Why
like
is
I needed to punish myself,
right?
you
And
know?
that's normal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just normal. But
And
again, this is just like your husband. We know what we're dealing with your husband. We also know what we're going to be dealing with our mind. Our mind is going to first say, you should punish yourself.
yeah.
And it will make sense for some reason in your head. Like you were bad, or you were this, or you were that. The trick is to not, like, I always love it when y'all are amazed at what your brain says. Like, you won't believe what my head said. I'm like, no, I believe it. And I need you to believe it. I need you to be like, and my brain said this, but here's, like, knowing that my brain is going to want to go to punishment, here's how I show up for that. Knowing my husband, like, looks at every credit card thing. That's the man I'm married to. And here's how I want to show up for it. So, like every single doo-doo thing our brain does, always, I'm just gonna tell y'all, the best thought I've ever had was everything my brain says when it freaks out about this, makes fun of me for that, worries about this, does whatever it's doing, it's always at some point started somewhere. It's got a great origin story. I originally started like thinking you should be punished because way back when, in this one moment that you'll never ever remember, something happened, you punished yourself, and I made the conclusion that it got better. So therefore, for the rest of your life, we should repeat that behavior. That's
Yeah.
just how brains work. They make very snap decisions, and they're always trying to explain things, and your brain doesn't always explain things in the best way because
Yeah.
it's on the hunt to explain it fast, not accurately.
Yeah.
Okay, so like for you, it's like I had this desire to punish myself. And that's where we just have to say, like, all right, my new reaction to punishing myself is slow down. What did I do wrong? Because the only thing that like punishment comes when you've done wrong. The only thing you did yesterday was change the batteries out and get a new scale. Okay, so let's say that your starting weight was 200. And you had lost, 30 pounds, and now you're at 170. You get on the new scale and it says 173. Well, guess what? On the old scale, your actual starting weight was 203. We forget about that part, that the
Yeah.
other side was also up. It doesn't really matter. It's not like overnight you looked three, you now you look 3 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
But we have to slow it down and we have to like make some sense and say, like, oh. My brain will want to punish me because it's going to equate 3 pound gain as if I did something wrong. Because in the past, I've overate, gained weight, and then what I do is I either eat more or I withhold food or I've done a pattern. I can see why it thinks I should be punished. Now that I know my pattern, I need to say, like, okay, whenever I feel like I've done something wrong and I need to punish myself in weight loss. That's my new trigger to say, like, okay, what's actually happened here? If all I did was change the batteries out on a scale or get a new scale or whatever it is, I have to re remind myself, oh, we didn't do anything wrong. This is a change in circumstance. This is a change in facts. I've still lost the exact same amount of weight because my starting weight now would be higher on a new scale. The other thing is if you, let's say you ate your face off last night. Let's say you just had a party and you're just like, it was a Cheeto buffet dipped in queso and you ate your way through it. All right. You still don't need to be punished today. Your reaction would be, you were bad last night. You should never have done that. So therefore, today, you shouldn't eat and you should do this and you should do that. Then you have to pause and say, like, wait a minute, I wasn't bad last night. I don't need to be punished today. What I need to do today, I have to learn what went on last night. Because there's no one, I've just never seen anyone ever. I've coached thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of women. We have thousands of women who have lost weight in this program over the years. Not one of them ever wrote in and said, now I didn't really follow your program. Here's what I did. I beat the shit out of myself all the way down and I've kept it off and it's amazing. Not one time.
Right.
Most of them say, You taught me how to quit doing that.
Yeah. I will say that, yes, I've gotten better just since being on this for the last, the 5 day and then now this week
Yes.
of talking better to myself. And my, I think it, I think there might be a little jealousy with my husband too, which is one of the things you had brought up when I talked to you privately, because he is extremely overweight. And it's, he, it just, I just feel like I'm, he's trying to, not trying to sabotage me, but I want my husband. And I know there's one of your podcasts on your other, podcast about you can't, don't have to have your husband's support to do this. And I know that. And I know that.
Just remind yourself, I want his support, but right now it's really hard for him to give it for whatever reason. He could be jealous. He could be worried that you're gonna, there's a lot of women's husbands who they're worried that if their wife loses weight, it somehow leaves them behind. Like, well, we always eat together, and now you're not wanting to eat these things. And so they like, just like we take it as if we go out on date night, we should eat fries in order to feel connected on date night. They take it as, oh, if you're not eating fries, we must not be connected. Like men are not, they're still emotional beings, even though they present different on the inside, a lot goes on for them. They just don't verbalize it as much as we do. So it's just, this is still another situation where you have to remind yourself, I'm married to someone right now who doesn't get this at all. He's got reasons why he's not going to, and this is the way I would phrase it to myself. He has reasons why he won't be able to support me the way I wish he would. And most of that is going to come from, that's not who he is. Like, it's just not. It's just like, it's not. Like, I would love Chris to be a big family man and to want to hang out with us and to do things. That's not who he is. He didn't grow up that way. It is overwhelming to him. It's not fun for him. And even though it would make my life easier, I would feel more complete. Like, there's a thousand things I would probably feel if he just suddenly was just like, oh my God, let's go to your brother's house and watch football today, all day. Can we, please? I go by myself. And sometimes it's like I remind myself, I wish he was here, but I don't require him to be here for us to have a good marriage. Same thing with you. I wish he would say and do these things on my weight loss journey, but it's not required at all. It's not required for me to do my part. This is my part. And I will tell all of you who do not have husbands who support you the way you want them to, be careful what you wish for. Because if you need other people to support you, you never learn how to do it yourself. It becomes a crutch. And the second they have a bad day, the second something's going on in their world and they can't support you, you fall apart. My husband couldn't support me losing weight, not the way I needed him to. I mean, he stayed out of my way. He did not understand my emotional eating. He didn't understand none of it, not a lick. I had to figure all that out for me. And that's why I'm still sitting here 19 years later. Because I never relied on anybody else. I decided this is my stuff and I'm going to be stronger for it because I do it for me. And I think that's where you get your control. Because when you say, I have a lack of control over my life, I want you to start rephrasing. It's like, I have a lack of control of knowing what I'm thinking right now. Like, this is like, can you kind of just keep going back to, I don't lack control over my life. I'm not seeing the areas that I actually do have control. And it's always in your responses and your reactions and how you think and what you're gonna like, what you're gonna demand and require of other people. That's all in your control. Okay.
That's great.
All right. Thank you, Christy. Look at
Thank
you.
you.
We have one woman who's been with me 4 years. She's like, today's the day I get coached. And you're like, I've been here 2 weeks. Today's the
And
So
thank you
that's
too for your vulnerability. I appreciate your, I'll be praying for you. But
thank you. I appreciate it. I
thank you
appreciate
so
it.
much. I appreciate
All
it.
righty, Christy.
Okay,
Bye-bye.
bye.
All right. MLD. Is it a bad thing to weigh daily? I weigh every day and have thought it is a problem to be solved. But recently I've thought maybe it's not a big problem as long as I'm treating the number as data and not letting it affect my mood. What do you think? It does not matter whether you weigh daily or not. It literally, you're on to the exact thing that you need to be on to. It matters what it's doing or not doing for you each day. So for some people, like I have had periods where I weigh daily, I've had periods where I weigh weekly, I have periods where I had one time I went over 6 months, just never weighed, never cared to. And then one day it was just like, I will see what I weigh just to see. It really matters like what you're using the information for. So I always suggest for people, if you want to weigh daily and you literally are going to like, I'm going to weigh daily to strengthen the relationship with myself. I'm going to get on there every day. And when it fluctuates, I'm going to start explaining normal scale science to myself. I'm going to use it as the trigger to better my relationship with myself, to like let all my doo-doo come up so that I can like get on the like express train to, redirecting my thoughts and reassuring myself and analyzing what I'm doing and stuff like that, that's fine. If it's for some of us, though, we're just not at the point yet where we're going to be able to redirect our mind. We don't feel ready for the gauntlet, you know? Like sometimes we're like ready for hard things. We've built up some resiliency and stuff, and we're like ready for the challenge. And then sometimes it's like, it's very overwhelming. We can't slow the thoughts down yet. We like we'll intellectually know that we're freaking out, but it takes over us so much that we haven't learned yet how to calm ourselves down. So then I always say, like, weigh less frequently. Give yourself the space. And then each day, instead of weighing, examine the previous day. What am I proud of? What did I do different yesterday? Where did I struggle and what did I really need? What didn't work? And are there things that I could do to make this easier for myself going forward? We kind of like we weigh our behaviors instead of just weighing on the scale. Either way can be very useful. Okay, MLD, are you here? And I just can't see you. Yeah, go ahead and turn your camera on, please. There you go.
I'm here.
Good. All right, what you want coaching on?
I wanted to start by saying I'm sorry about what you're going through with your stepmother, and just it is very helpful when you share all your stories. I appreciate it, so thank you.
You're welcome.
You coached me back in January of last year
Okay.
about feeling lazy and my husband doing too much and trying to get my sort of night times together. And I want to start by saying, after that coaching call that I listened to about 10 times, I for probably about 9 months straight didn't have a single snack after dinner. I put myself upstairs. The routine was fantastic. It was, and it hasn't gone back to the way that it was. It's been very, very good. So that has stuck.
Well, good.
Yeah, I was making very good progress until about October, and I've gained 15 pounds since then, and I'm kind of panicky, and I'm trying to figure out what's driving it. So I figured I would get on a call here with you before I made it worse, because I've been doing discovery sheets every day. I'm not stopping at enough. I am numbing in the evening, and
What are
you
you
know
numbing
the
in the evening?
yeah like I'm numbing in the evening with food and with wine. And I know you've talked to so many people about this, and I almost thought, geez, is it
Right,
worth
but
coming on?
why are you numbing?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I After doing the discovery worksheets, what kept coming up is that I'm very, very hard on myself. I'm expecting perfection. I'm the thoughts are, it's not good. I don't talk well to myself. It's been 47 years of whatever. Anyway, so I started doing the self-love prompts, because I've done the self-love course, and I've done the like relationship course with myself. I'm really trying to figure it out. I think this is the part that's missing. I think it's the perfectionism. I think it's the talking nasty to myself. And so by the end of the day, like you've told us, and I know this logically, I'm beat down, I'm exhausted, and I just want to check out, and I don't want to hear my brain tell me what piece of shit I am. But I
Yeah.
can't seem to fix that. And I like I said, I've been doing the prompts, I've been doing the courses. I'm not sure what to do.
This is going to be so frustrating to hear. You have got to hear more of your stuff during the day. We
Yeah.
got to turn it up to where you hear it all day loud and clear. Every little thing that you're like, what happens for a lot of us, this is why evenings are so hard for so many women, is we die by a thousand cuts all day long. And it's, pushing through lunch and, calling yourself names and holding yourself to impossible standards. I don't have anything against having high standards, but usually when women come to me like this, they don't have high standards. They've actually set an impossible standard. Like if you're a perfectionist, you've just set an impossible standard and then you wonder why you feel so beat up all the time. It's
Yeah,
like
I
if you
know.
keep it perfect, there's zero wins for you.
And that's a problem. That's what I keep trying to work through. I absolutely know it's not helping, right? I know that it's not realistic. I catch myself saying the things and I'll go, "You're making this worse. You're making this worse. You got to stop
Okay,
this."
but I want you to listen. Let me ask you this. When you say you're making this worse, you're making this worse, you have to stop it, how do you feel?
Well, it's I'm beating myself up again. It's just reiterating that I'm failing. Yeah.
Right, but how does it feel?
It feels shitty.
Right. So we've taken some shit and we said, oh, I know how to solve the shit. Let's put more shit on it. I bet that'll feel amazing. That'll stop it. I just want you to think about this. You're just very much in the habit of what we call, like, this is not even a word, but I'm gonna make it uncompassionate. I don't
Yeah,
know what word.
I get
I
it.
don't think un goes before compassionate, but we're gonna roll with it. But you're just in the habit. And so even when you're trying to correct, it's like, oh, you did wrong. So now let me correct you by like showing you all your wrongness. Like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. It drives up anxiety. And so what
Well,
happened? Oh, go ahead.
oh no, I was gonna say I have tried to not give those thoughts airtime, right? Because you've said it's just not useful, right? They're going to come up. I can't stop them, but I need to talk to myself better. And I write down all the things and I try and write down positive things. The issue that I have is that I don't believe them. And you used to teach about like ladder steps and things like that. Like I'm willing, I've tried that when I get compliments outside of, myself, like at work or with friends or whatever. I don't believe it. And one of the journal topics for the 30-day journal prompts for self-love, it was, like, how do you feel when people say these things? And I feel like it's bullshit. I don't believe
Well, it
it.
absolutely is. You're not supposed to believe it right now.
Yeah.
Your only job is to accept it and remind yourself, I don't believe it because that's not how I talk to myself. I don't believe it because it's different than how I talk to myself. Like the first crack in the nut to get to the good stuff is we have to start dismantling these things. And a lot of times what we do is we try to jump to, let's say somebody says, you did a good job today. But on the inside, you always feel like you're failing. Your job is not to believe them. Your job is to remind yourself, I don't believe them, but that doesn't make it less true. I don't believe them because it's very different than how I talk to myself. So their perspective is true. This is what they're seeing. I don't feel it because it's very different than my perspective. So we have to like talking about ladder thoughts and talking about like how do we slowly like tiptoe into the land of, feeling better and giving ourselves some credit and stuff like that. It's often just reminding ourselves, the reason why I don't believe it is because it's so different than the way I talk to myself. It's not because it's not true. But it's not, and I just always tell myself the truth. Corinne, it doesn't feel true to you because you talk like this. Like, that's why. But because our brains, if we don't have that conversation, our brain thinks it's not true because it's not true. Like there's a big difference. And that's why, like, your 15 pounds is not going to come from not eating at night. Your 15 pounds is going to come from figuring out how can you go into your evenings not so depleted? Because our brain, the part of your brain that is responsible for like making good decisions for ourselves. Let's say the part of your brain that's going to come home and have an urge to drink wine and eat some food and whatnot, it requires the thinking part of your brain. The thinking part of your brain and the other part of your brain, which is where the bullshit assault comes all day long. Like, oh my God, I know they said this, but that's not true. And, you know, well, we don't feel that. And, you know, I think you did this wrong. Like, just in case, I think you did this wrong. And just, I don't even want you to think you did it right because that's dangerous. Like, let's just do all this, right? They both operate all the time. They're just going, 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 going. And the part of your brain that makes decisions, the more tired you are, the more underfed you are, the dehydrated you are, the more emotionally drained you are, that brain actually turns down. It loses its ability to be able to be in the game because the part of your brain that does all the thinking requires an extraordinary amount of energy and calories. And so our brain's whole job is to, like, say, when the battery is getting low, we turn that side down. And the habit brain that is like, we should have some wine, we should numb, like, okay, I need you to feel better. We've got to recharge. I only know how to do it this way. The brain thinks, I need to put that part of the brain in charge because we've got to get, like, we can't take anymore. And that's just how it works. That's why, like, for me, when I have like days where I have a lot of calls, I have to be very intentional about what I'm going to be eating at dinner. It has to be planned. If I can get Chris to make it for me or pre-order whatever we're doing or whatever, I try to do that like around 10, 11 o'clock in the morning because I'm going to be underfed and I'm going to be thinking so hard all day. Like coaching and coaching and coaching. And, you know, a lot of my calls are very emotional. Either y'all are crying or I'm crying. Somebody's crying all the time. And if I know that when I'm done, the part of my brain that had to think is immediately going to check out because the body is saying, hey, we've got to go to the habits now. You're tired and we can't afford to keep expending this energy. And so it's going to go to what it knows. And so that's why we have to reprogram the way we respond over time, but we also have to set ourselves up for that success. You know, like not having wine in the house, if you know right now, while you are figuring this out, I'd probably take that wine out so that you don't even have to be tempted at all. You know, like I do stuff like that for me. Like if I know I'm gonna have a really bad week where it's just like, we're going to be going through a lot. Last week was a terrible, not just my father and my stepmother. It was like a busy, like no BS week because we were like bringing in new clients. And I was, you know, there's a lot that goes on to do that. And I did not keep things that I would just want to munch on at night for no reason in the house. Those, like, I can have those in my house 70% of the time. 30% of the year, I know myself too well. I even told Chris, because I know Chris, when I'm tired, he's going to want to order food. And I said, I want to have healthy things. I do not want to eat out every night next week or last week. And I went ahead and talked to him about, like, I think this is what we should be eating each night. Let's just pre-plan all of it so that I wouldn't fall into all of that. So we've got to listen harder for every little place where you're being hard on yourself. And you can't blow smoke up your butt, but you've got to hear more of it because you got to slow that shit down that's going on during the day. So let's just take something that routinely happens where you are hard on yourself. Because we got to figure out when you're hard on yourself, you can't sit there and be harder on yourself to get it to stop. You have to relearn how to be compassionate in that moment, because that's what you're really seeking, is compassion and understanding.
Hard to pick. I'm really hard on myself about everything.
Just pick something easy,
I mean, like
right?
every morning when I go to put on my clothes right now and they're tight, I feel disgusted. I took everything out of the closet that doesn't fit, so I wasn't, putting on tight stuff. I know better than to do that, but I'm pulling at things again and I'm not feeling great. And so I put it on and I drive to work and I feel uncomfortable, or I'm trying to do something to get through like two tight chairs or something, and it's tighter and I feel uncomfortable. And every time that happens, or like I catch myself in the mirror, like even look at my face on the screen right now, and I'm going, my God, what did you do to yourself? You screwed it up again. You were getting so close. Why do you keep doing this? You know better, you know.
Okay, so we know your brain's going to do that. It's just like our last caller. That's her husband. That's just what my brain is going to do. So in that moment, how do you want to talk to yourself?
I'd like it just to be neutral right now, because I don't think I would believe it if it
No,
was
we're not trying
positive.
to say you're beautiful. Or, like whatever. I want you to really think about this. The version, like, let's just take the version of you who puts on her clothes and they're too tight and you're pulling on them. Do you have kids?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a girl by chance?
Two.
Okay. If it was your child and she'd gained a bunch of weight, and she came to you and she said, "Mama, every morning when I look in the mirror before I go to school, somebody's of all day, somebody's texting and the dinger's going off. It's like people been texting this whole time. No dinger's going off." She looks at you and she says, "Mama, every day before I go to school, I hate the way my body looks. I'm too fat. I'm pulling at my clothes." What would you say to her?
It would break my heart. I would try and tell her it's not true. I would probably just tell her that, she was getting taller and getting bigger, and we just needed to get her some new clothes. It was the clothes' fault, not hers.
But let's say she ate her face off. Let's say she's 25 and she comes to you. Let's zoom ahead. She's 25 years old. It was totally her fault. She's been eating and drinking with her friends. She's gained 40 pounds. Her clothes are not fitting. And she calls you on the phone and says, I don't know what to do. Every day, I feel miserable. And when I get dressed and before I go to work, I'm pulling at my clothes and I hate myself. Now, what would you say to her?
I would tell her I love her. I would tell her to stop beating herself up. I would tell her we need to go shop and get you some clothes that you can put on and feel good about yourself in, because putting these on every day isn't gonna, it's not gonna help you. And then I would ask her, what would you like to do to try and get healthier? Like, do you want to get healthier? Are you ha like, do you know what I mean? I would try and be supportive of like what she wanted to do, because I had a mom obsessed with weight my whole life growing up, and even to this day she buys me portion control bowls for my birthday and she picks on me. So that's a hard question for me, because I don't like the advice I get from my mother.
I don't think it's a hard, I think you answered it beautifully. I don't think this is a hard question at all. I think that you know exactly where all your harsh talk about your body came from. I think you know exactly what you need to hear, because that's what you would say to your daughter. It's the conversation you probably wish you would have, like every time you've been uncomfortable with your body, you probably wished your mother would have said, "Why don't we just go get you some clothes that you feel comfortable in right now?" because you deserve to feel comfortable. Even if you still want to lose weight, you still deserve to feel comfortable. You,
Feels like I'm ex it feel and I know you've coached about this in Cara too. It feels like a failure to have to get those sizes out again, you know what I mean? Or go and buy them. It's like,
you
God, I
know
was
why it
so
feels like a
close.
failure? Because you're very used to making that a bad thing. You only know that as bad, and the rest of us are sitting here. If you wouldn't tell your daughter that, you need to say, I would never tell my daughter that. It's probably time for me to quit believing that too. Like, and that's
Okay.
what it takes. The reason why it feels like failure is because I've never done it any other way. It's not because it is fail. Like, this is important for you to hear, because it will feel like failure only because you have been taught by your mother it is, and you've only ever repeated that story to you. But I promise you, it can't. This is how we 100% know it's not true. You wouldn't have given that advice to your daughter. So there is a piece of you on the inside who says, I actually know how to treat myself. I'm just not doing it because it feels very different. And anything that's different scares the shit out of us because you will think, if I like, I've only ever, pro you, if I had to guess, the only way you've ever successfully lost weight in the past is by being hard on yourself, or you've somehow tied being hard on yourself got you there.
100%.
Well, you wouldn't be here if it worked so well. You wouldn't be
I know.
crying with me if it was so amazing.
I've been with your program for a long time. The mental stuff is so helpful. And I lost 40 with you. It's just that I've put back on 15 since October. And I thought I had it figured out. I really did after our coaching last January. I really did.
You still have, like, this is the thing. Again, you're taking these 15 pounds and making it mean like I must not have it figured out. Instead of these 15 pounds means I have found the next thing to work on. I mean, I want you to think about this. This is going to be hard for you to hear, but I'm going to tell you this is what I truly believe. I'm grateful. I will be grateful for you. You don't need to feel this way right now. You let me feel this way. I am grateful that you gained weight so that you could figure out how to stop being awful to yourself. Because you could be losing weight and still be being awful to yourself and feel like ass for the rest of your life and be like your mother. I'm not making fun of your mom,
Okay.
but a mom that is that strict and controlled so much so that she's still giving her 47-year-old daughter. I think you said you were 47. I'm not 100% sure. Okay.
Yeah.
You look amazing for 47. I was like, I don't know, maybe I'm insulting her, but I can't imagine what goes on in your mother's head.
Oh, it's all she talks about. We can't even let them be down here very much around the girls because she won't stop. We keep telling her, please stop talking about it in front of the kids. And I don't want my kids hearing any of that stuff.
But can you imagine if she will talk about it that much out loud, what it probably sounds like in her own head? I
Goddamn
would
bearable.
imagine, right? I mean, I imagine like if she can say all this out loud, she's probably saying a tenth of what she thinks.
Yeah.
And so for you, I don't need you to feel happy about gaining weight. I just want you to quit saying that it's, I thought I had it figured out. You have weight loss figured out. You don't have talking to yourself in an amazing way figured out yet. And this 15 pounds is literally, it is like saying, I love you enough. I'm not going to let you lose weight like an asshole. Like, I'm going to turn you back to wine, I'm going to turn you back to food. So that you can see the house is on fire. And so we got to turn up the volume of how you're talking to yourself. You've got to become so aware of it, but you have to approach it through, I'm so glad I'm hearing this. It all feels true. only because it's going to be very uncomfortable and very different for me to talk to myself in a new way. It's not going to feel real for a while, but that doesn't mean none of it's true. It just means I'm not used to it. And it will feel like this is the hardest thing I think I ever have to be able to teach is, and it happens every Sunday, but the hardest thing for women to do is to be happy and love themselves. I mean, every week, that's, I mean, I've already coached on it twice today. The first caller, Terry, I'm afraid to feel good. It's like staring her in the face. She's catching moments where she actually feels good. And she's terrified to allow it. You know you're beating yourself up. And you're like, well, because I don't trust and I don't believe these other thoughts, I should just keep the shitty ones.
Well, that's why I'm on here today, because I know that that's not going to work.
Exactly. And that's what you tell yourself. Like, being hard on myself about my thoughts, not going to work. Probably the only thing that's really going to work is to say a lot of stuff to myself that's going to feel uncomfortable and weird and strange and different and unbelievable. But the only way you got here was because these set of thoughts were repeated over and over again. That's the only reason why we believe anything we believe. It gets repeated to us so much on the inside or on the outside or whatever, to a point to where we just believe it. And the only way to get to the next phase where you believe something different, it's repeated. So listen more during the day.
Okay.
Find places where you can say, like, I'm so glad I'm catching all of this now. I will learn how to talk different to myself. Rather than saying, don't think that, shouldn't talk to yourself that way, you just want to say, I'm so glad I'm hearing it now. I will learn how to talk different. It like when you want to say something to yourself, like let's say you're looking in the mirror, let's say you're just looking at your face right now and you're thinking, what do you think about your face?
I don't want to even look at it.
But what is the one, like, just it's not going to hurt you to say out loud what you're already thinking
Feel like my
because you're
face
already
looks.
thinking it.
I feel like my face looks fat.
Okay.
And my face is the last thing to get heavy on me. It's usually the one thing that stays pretty slim.
Okay. So now, when you say, like, my face looks fat, you might want to just look at yourself and say, and I know how painful that is to think. And ask yourself, like, what do you need? That's not weight loss. Because the only, like, you've already experienced that losing weight and not feeling and not fixing and healing this part of you means wine and food at night has to come back until you heal this part of you. So a lot of times it's like, I know that y'all think it sounds fake. It's like, I don't expect y'all to look in the mirror and be like, well, I'm just going to start believing I'm beautiful when you don't believe it right now. But what we can believe is that we're hurting and that you're listening. Because when you just avoid looking, that part of you that's hurting is also getting ignored. It's just like if you want your mother to be different with you, and she just keeps bringing you portion control bowls. It's like she's ignoring a part of you that says, hey, I want a different relationship. And I'm sure you don't like that. Don't do that to yourself. And don't tell yourself your mom's lie. And I'm not, I love your mother. Like, I'm not saying this, but your mom's lie is you lose weight and you will love yourself. It's like, no, I will love myself. And that is how I will lose weight.
Yeah, and I don't mean to bash her. She did the best that she could. Her mother was even worse. So I don't, I'm not trying to put her down. Just want to,
My mom and I talked about this yesterday because my grandmother, she's 87 and she's still like, are you still pretty? I was just waiting for her to ask me how much I weighed because that's like always what she has said to me my entire life. And we were just talking about it. And my mom, my mom gets very righteous on my behalf because like I'm her baby. I mean, I'm 51 and I'm still her baby. So I said, well, mama, like I'm pissed at Betty Lou for a thousand things. I said, but what I do know is that there were generations of women who being fat was literally dangerous. You would not marry. And if you didn't marry, you couldn't get a house, you couldn't get a checking account, you couldn't get a credit card, you couldn't take care of yourself. Women couldn't even get good jobs. Like your body and what it weighed was a part of survival for centuries and thousands of years. Our body, women's bodies have just been very much tied to safety and security. And just because since 2015 we've had a body positivity movement does not erase centuries and centuries of those mothers not having the privileges we have today to stand on our own, to make our own way in the world, for our body to not have to be our calling card. And it's still hard. It's not like we've erased all of it. It's still in the water. But like my mom never saw overweight women modeling clothes unless you went to like Sears Chubette department. It was like, I think it was literally called Chubette or something like that. I mean, just think about that stuff. But at least now we get to see inclusive sizing and women of all bodies are celebrated and whatnot. And I'm glad. And so we don't have to hate on our mothers because I feel like our moms, all of us, even me included, we've all fucked up in our own ways. But when it comes to the body stuff, I give a lot of moms a pass on that because I think sometimes at our age, we can't even conceptualize what it was like for the boomer generation and the generations even before that. Like even for us, it wasn't easy for us, but I just feel like every generation that body shame and stuff is getting a little bit easier. And hopefully it'll be gone one day. But it's going to take our generations. It's going to take, all of our women who are in their 70s and 80s now and no BS, plus all of us in our 40s and 50s and 60s and our younger ones to work on ourselves for ourselves. So listen more to your harsh talk.
Okay,
Terrible
I will do
medicine,
that.
absolutely the answer.
What's that?
Said terrible medicine. It's going to taste like
That's
Robitussin going down. But
okay.
as Robitussin does, it cures a lot.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye bye.
Bye.
Man, today's been heavy, y'all. We just been, somebody said off topic, who makes your cute jacket? This is Under Armour Outlet. They may still have it. It is a little crop jacket. It came in black. See, it just like lands right here. It came in black, and I also have it in the it's got like a two-tonal where it's like a khaki with almost like a khaki green sleeve. It's actually upstairs getting washed right now because I was obviously eating one of those Carb Smart Breyers chocolate bars with the ice cream on the middle. I must have been laying in bed one night having one, and I put it on today to go to church. I was like, oh my God, I've got like chocolate all over this jacket. So it's now been sprayed and is getting washed. And I was like, oh shit. Like, I hope I didn't stain it because this is one of my favorite jackets. So you can order it there. Last question. I am estranged from my father since 2023. I've tried to work through this emotionally. It's probably a contributor to not being able to lose weight. I'm sorry for your loss. Let me know if you have any tips to compartmentalize that. I don't believe in compartmentalizing. I think it's, I think it's possible, but I always feel like it's very slow and painful to compartmentalize. I'm working on what enough is and trying to eat at slight hunger right now. I would probably tell myself, I'm good, like, this is for all of you, and this is how we'll close before we go to the next call, is hunger and enough only job. Like, y'all tell me in the chat. Hunger, enough, and planning. What is its biggest, most primary job? Let's see if anybody gets the right answer. Awareness, feed yourself well, make us feel safe, support you in your journey, lessening day-to-day decisions, boundaries, awareness. Okay. Teach us what we think about. Y'all are super close. The way I like to think of it is hunger, enough, and 24-hour plans are there to show you every way in which you eat without thinking, in every way that you're eating emotionally. Like, it's just to show you the reasons why you eat. Sometimes we eat for great reasons. We're actually hungry. Sometimes we eat because it is a celebration. Sometimes we eat because it's a hard day. Sometimes we eat because, like our last caller, we spend our entire day pressuring ourselves, being hard on ourselves, so much so that at night, our brain is forced to stop thinking. It can't take it anymore. It hurts so bad. And until we learn how to lessen how much we're hurting ourselves, it says, I'll take care of you with food and wine. So when I think about planning, hunger, and enough, it's not just so you can lose weight. I think that's the secondary benefit. I think its primary role is to show you what you really need in life. Where are you getting your needs met? Is this where you want your needs met? Is this how you want your needs met? Because there's nothing wrong with eating past enough sometimes. Like, I'm going to Vegas this week. It's Jane's 50th birthday. It's my friend Lori's. Her birthday is actually on Friday. We've been planning this trip for a long time. I'll eat past enough. We're going out twice. We're going to two restaurants. Y'all know that's a big sacrifice for Corinne. She doesn't go out to eat very much because Chris and I like to lay in bed and watch TV and eat in bed. I'm gonna have to tell myself when we're like hauling ass to a restaurant at 6 o'clock at night when I'm normally in bed, Corinne, this isn't hard. It's just different than what you normally do. I will be chanting that the entire time. We're going to a couple of nice restaurants. I do not plan to eat to enough. I don't even plan to eat till full. I plan to leave there probably feeling like, whoo, that was really good. Because there are times that are just special. And it's okay if every now and then you're making a conscious choice because it's a new experience and it's a celebration and stuff. Nobody ever lost weight or gained a bunch of weight because they had so many extraordinary moments in life to be able to eat foods and be with friends and family that they gained 100 pounds. No one. Now, if I was doing that at home, because the only way I know how to have a good time and to disconnect from my shitty ass brain and to relax is if Chris and I ate a bunch of good food every night, that's not being a foodie anymore. Not at all. We have to know how to have a good time without it. We have to know how to have moments in our life that matter and moments in our life where it's like, it's just not about the food today. Like, let's say that Chris and I were going to go to our bar tonight. I could say it's date night. I could say a million things. I already know I'm going to have an extraordinary time this weekend. I would go to the bar tonight and order a fucking chicken salad. Would it be as good of a time? No. But I would tell myself, Corinne, you know how to have a good time with a chicken salad. You also know you're looking forward to that good time. Chicken salad tonight doesn't ruin anything until you have thoughts about it. So be on the lookout for any time you're ruining the experience because the chicken salad's not doing it. The lack of an appetizer is not doing it. When are you ruining it? And that's the conversations I have with myself all the time. And when y'all say, like, isn't that exhausting? I'm like, I don't know. I found what was exhausting was always wanting to lose weight, never being able to do it, wondering what's wrong with me every fucking day of my life, pulling at my clothes, being afraid to stand up in a meeting, worrying that I was passing on my shitty ways of eating to my child. That was really exhausting. That was the true exhaustion. This is thinking. It's a good trade. All right. We are already into next call. So let me just stop the recording.